Good to be in the house of the Lord. If you'll turn with me to Isaiah chapter 59. And when you get there, please stand for the reading of the word. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, and let's take a look at verse number 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You may be seated. The thought that the Lord gave me in this was probably about a month ago, was God will raise a standard. And a lot of times in our thinking, we look at a standard as a principle. And when we look in the times that they were writing the Bible, a standard, and I was going to build one, but for the lack of not having room and or how tall the ceiling was, it was a pole. All of the Roman army had standards, and that pole would have on it would be from the top. It would have the eagle, which was the emblem of what Rome was. So you would know what country you're in. You wouldn't want to end up going to the enemy's camp when it's time to rally. Now the dictionary says that a standard is a rallying point where men come together to rally for a common cause. And after the eagle, they would maybe have their flag, and then they would have what legion they were in, and then even what group in little circles. And this standard would be raised up so that they would know when things got crazy, they could turn around and look and see where they were at, where they needed to be, and where they needed to go. And God desires to raise a standard in us, but we've twisted some things around, and some things has got a little out of line as to what God really wants us to have and what God wants us to do. And if you look at when Moses was lifting his arm up in a battle, as long as his arms were lifted up, Israel could prevail. But when his arms began to fall down, and my belief is they couldn't see where their leader was, couldn't tell who their leader was, they begin to lose. So it got to the point where that they took Moses and they got a rock for him to sit on and propped his arms up, and they won the battle. There's another one where that Moses even called God. He said he's going to call him Jehovah Nissi, the Lord his banner. There has to be something there. Now, today, it's kind of hard for us to understand. And all through my growing up, and some of you folks may already know this, but this was just a revelation to me a few years back. I used to wonder, all of the men that were in the military that would get shot just trying to hang a flag, how could that be that important? And I used to think, here, there's a flag. You go up there and you stick it up there. But what they needed was, and we replaced the standard with this. Because when we're in war, and this was raised up, everybody knew the victory was there. We all know the memorial. I don't know which place it was, where they're all pushing the flag up to get it set. Where is it at, Jimmy? Iwo Jima. Their point was to get that standard up. When that went up, everybody who was tired, everybody who was wore out, everybody who couldn't fight anymore, when they looked over and seen the flag, they got a burst of energy to go after that point. They remembered what their direction, all of the fear run out of them. Everything that the enemy tried to put in them was just evacuated with the raising of an American standard that we were going to set people free. And all of the stuff that was clouded in their mind was then banished away. It wasn't cloudy anymore. The directive was that point. And if anything happened, we fall back to that. Because that's where all of my brothers are going to be. That's where my safety is going to be. I out here by myself might be taking a beating, but if I run back to the group can help me. God says when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. He's going to raise up a place for you to come to. He's going to raise up a place for us to have safety. Raise up a place where those that are weak can get set free. God desires to raise up that standard so that it's clear. So that people can see it. They'll desire it. They'll want it. Now, I'm going to... Let's just get into it. I want to show you through history some things that has happened. Now, I need my Roman Catholic error. I couldn't make enough standards, so I'm going to use people for the standards. From the time of the book of Acts, we know that the Roman Catholics kind of ruled everything over there. What the church said, church had more power than a country did. The church didn't know a property. Boy, that right there will preach by itself. The church ain't like governments that go to a line and say, well, we can't go no further. The church would step over, and if it was Germany, if it was France, if it was Israel, didn't matter who it was, the church ruled, and what they said, people followed, right? But then something started to happen in that they got real powerful. And as they got powerful, they decided that your dedication to Him was what got you in and out of heaven. And in that, there's a young man that rose up, Martin Luther. Who's my Martin Luther? Oh. There we go. Now we get Martin Luther. So then Martin Luther comes up in the middle of this movement and he's trying everything that he possibly can to understand how if he is saved and he's doing these works, he don't feel it in his heart. He's seeking God, he wants to know God, and then he gets a revelation. He reads the Bible. And he finds out, the book of Romans says, by faith you are saved. So Martin Luther looks at him and he says, it's by faith. They don't have to be dedicated to you. Every man is equal. If they can understand the word, they just need some teaching. And they said, no, you recant it. And he thought about it and he prayed about it and he come back the next day and he said, I cannot recant what I know to be the truth of God. What part of the Bible should I say is not true? Therefore, they said, Martin Luther, he's going to do his own thing. He's no part of us. We're pushing him out. Well, it run that the Lutherans in that faith of man seeing, hey, I can get God through my beliefs. And I guess for lack of anything better, they gave a little bit too much chain to the dog and he run around. Got real liberal. Didn't care nothing about everything that they learned before. I'm saved by faith and faith alone. We kind of got that going on today. I believe in God, so I'm going to heaven. It's like I told them in Sunday school. The devils believe and tremble too. Think they're going to heaven? Give us something to think about, don't it? But then, John Wesley.
Come to me. Mine's the right way. Those guys are wrong.
So John Wesley's over here, and he looks over here at Martin Luther, and he says, you know, if we are saved by faith, then we ought to act like it. And Martin Luther says, no, you're getting too close to them. But no, the Bible says, faith without works, being alone is dead. Yeah, that's what the Bible says, but you're going to get underneath their doctrine. But we have to live holy and separate. We need to be God's people. Well, if that's the way you feel, then you and your Methodist, can just stay right there.
My way.
when I get my lost person. Go crazy. This is Methodist. So out of the Methodist movement, people begin to get holy, get separate, seek God, find out what's going on. And notice how everybody's looking down the line, watching them. They start seeking God, Azusa Street. There's a place in California. There's a street called Azusa. Well, out of this Methodist, everybody's seeking God. And if somebody's trying to call you on your cell phone, what do? You answer it. Right? Somebody calls you on the phone, you answer them. Somebody asks you a question, you answer them. Somebody looking for you, and I say, hey, Rick. And Rick looks up, see, right there. He's going to answer me. So everybody's praying and seeing God, and God answers. And they come and they say, hey, look, this revival's broke out. God is pouring out the Holy Spirit just like He did in the book of Acts, and things are happening. And they say, that's out of control. That's out of control. That's out of control. You're out of control. We can't control. So then, over here, Azusa Street breaks out. Assemblies of God, Church of God, a lot of other denominations. Because it's happening, and this revival goes on and on and on. So then we have something that breaks out of Azusa Street, which was the healing revivals. Because all of a sudden everybody's seeking God, and all of these great things are happening. So He's inviting everybody to His healing revival. So come on, healing revival, look quicker.
Come in there, brother. I'm healing.
So the tents go up. The revivals start happening. Jack Cole, Theo Jones, Oral Roberts, R.W. Shambach. All of these men. I mean, we can say what we want to. There's a lot of people that rebuke and want to push it. But let me tell you something. When somebody who never walked gets up and walks, I don't care what your theology is. You can't. What did they do to the man that was blind? The scribes and the Pharisees grabbed him and said, come over here. Now, are you sure you was really blind? Now, how did he do? I think y'all tried to play a joke. You and your parents are in on it. God said, look, I don't know. All I know is I was blind and I now see, and that's the man. So then, out of the healing revival, we got the charismatic movement popped up. Because now we got people that were dedicated, people who believed in faith, people who believed in living holy, who said the gifts were real, who knew the power of God, and they started doing all this, and God shows up in a dream, in a vision, in a prophecy. Well, I don't know about that. You know, all of that don't work with what I'm doing. You're a little bit too spiritual. I don't understand that. That's never happened to me. Therefore, Carly, you don't exist. We're not going to let that happen. So this is what we got. And then we got little lost Debbie. Who we've been witnessing to. And I finally say, you need to get saved, okay? You need to come to the Lord. Go ahead, folks.
Everybody got to stop. I don't hear you.
So what are you tempted to just do?
To go that way.
What is happening today? But, you wait right here. What if? Brother, our job would be a whole lot easier. What if this guy said, you know, the scripture does say, by faith, you're saved.
Buddy.
And what if she said, well, if we're saved, we ought to just act like it. And what if, because we are acting like lock arms, and if because we are acting like it, God's going to give us some gifts to empower us for the perfecting of not till the apostles die, but of the church till the Lord Jesus come. I don't know about y'all, but he ain't come yet. And they look over and say, well, one of the gifts is healing. And if God wants to move that way, surely he can. Because I've seen folks get healed. And if he's going to sanctify us, set us apart, give us information, give us gifts, speak to us, show us his word, surely he can speak to us in a dream or in a spiritual language or in a prophecy or in preaching. Now we got little lost Debbie, who I say, get saved, follow after Jesus. There it is. That's exactly it. That's the whole point. The church can no longer stand to be divided, to rally up different armies going in different directions and turning around killing your own soldiers. We can't do that anymore. We have to realize, yes, this was a time, 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 this was a time for the equipping of the saints. Not for us to fall at blows over. Y'all can all be seated. Let's give a hand for the church through the ages. Look, let me tell you something. I watched the show the other day, blew me away. Just, I said, Lord, this is almost too great for one man to handle. They had insects on there, and they had a scientist who stood there, and they were talking about the bumblebee. And it showed, now look, I'm telling you, it showed the bumblebee flying. And the man stood there and said, he can't do that. His wings are too small to carry that weight. He can't move them fast enough to do that. That's what the man said. He can't do that because I can't figure it out. Now, if the bumblebees listened, they'd all be flying and they'd go pop right to the ground and start walking. And all of the flowers that we love, which clothe the fields, which makes them beautiful for our eyes and our picture to enjoy and say what the graces of God is, would start to die. Because that bee would walk up and look way up at steam and say, you know, when I could fly, somebody told me I could fly. I just flew. I just did it and it happened. But now that I know I can't fly, all I can do is walk. I sure do wish I could fly, though. I remember a time when everybody was flying. But now, Joe Scientist, who with his little calculators and all of his reading and studying, he can't figure out how they flew. So therefore, even though he's seen it, he still has to say, they can't fly. It's impossible for that bee to fly. And the man said, but he's flying. And he said, I know, but it's impossible. It don't make sense. Folks, I don't know how and why God works the way he works on a lot of things. But I can tell you, just because you don't know it, don't mean it ain't God. Just because you can't conceive it, some of us are too afraid to get out of our comfort zones to allow God to be God in our life. Because he might not let me look macho. He might not, I might shout. I might praise God. I might get up and go pray for somebody. I can't do that. Therefore, God is not going to move. Can I tell you, your blessing might just be in the obedience of the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have a problem to say, I got a song I want you to play. You go let somebody else do my worship for me. But then when it comes to a personal level, to go lay hands on Ray and pray for him, I don't know about that. That's look, God's into a personal ministry with his people. We can't look because one person, because God's moving this way over here, and He ain't never let you in on the secret. Maybe if you would open your mind, you might know something about the secret. Maybe you might get into it. Maybe you might experience something you've never experienced before. I come by to tell you something. Look, Ephesians chapter 4 tells me this. It says, verse number 4, chapter 4. For there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But what if I got a different opinion, brother? We see what happens when people say that can't happen. God goes on and moves. But all we do is divide up the body of Christ. When someone comes in, they're so confused whenever they try to talk to a Christian. They don't know what doctrine to believe. They don't know what denomination to believe. Don't you ever let some dead, dry teaching keep your bumblebee from flying. If your bumblebee will fly, let him pat his little wings and take his little chubby body to the next flower, because he's got a job to do and he's happy doing it. But as long as somebody said, he can't, don't reach over and pinch off his wings. God made it happen. I come by to tell you something. I got in some scriptures when I started studying this, and something happened to me. Brother, I've never been the same since. I got some scriptures to give you. I found out something. Psalms 95 tells us that, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. When I'm worshiping, I can bow down to God. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, lift up holy hands. I can lift up my hands, and I can praise God any way that I desire to. James chapter 5 says, pray for the sick. I can pray for the sick. 1 Peter 1:16 said, be ye holy for I am holy. I can be holy. 1 Peter 1:16 is what told us that, not James. 1 Peter, if I said that wrong. Psalms 47:1 says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. I can clap my hands to the rhythm of God. We could preach that one by itself, dancing to the rhythm of God. God can put a rhythm in you. And I'm not just talking about at church. When you're at home and you're praising and you're worshiping God, when nobody's looking around, you can get on a song and you can get on a dance. Problem is, when we come to church, the reason you can't get your song on is because you're too busy wondering, well, what's Robbie going to think? What's Rick going to think? What's Vicky going to think if I go over there and lay hands on her? What's Rick going to think if I lay hands on him? What's going to be the reaction of the church? Well, if I start that, they all break out, and my goodness, we might be here an hour. Out of control. Joel 2 tells us, I'll see a vision. I'll dream dreams. 1 Corinthians really nails it home. Chapter 12 tells us, now, brethren, concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. That means he's going to teach us something. 14 tells us, covet to prophesy. You mean I ought to want to? Well, why should I want to? That's done away with. Why would the Bible tell me to desire something I can't ever have? So when I die and I get to heaven, Amy, God can go, huh, played a good one on you, didn't I? You really sought that for years and years and years. It wasn't there to be had. But he said, till Christ comes. See that you fall behind in no what? Spiritual gift. Chapter 14 Corinthians also says, forbid not speaking with tongues. Oh, hey, he's talking that tongue talking stuff, and I don't know, this is our church, and I don't know about it getting all crazy like that. Look, let me tell you something, I'll be the first to admit. Probably 90% of what you see goes on tongue talking is probably just hocus pocus, people acting in their flesh. But I'm not concerned with that. I'm concerned with the power and the authority of God that He puts in you. Look, folks, there's a time in our life when we don't understand something and we're just like John's disciples. Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost? We don't even know if there'd be such a thing. We pray, we know to get people saved, we know to tell them how to repent, we know to point them to God. But as far as this Holy Ghost, we don't even know if there'd be such a thing. You're going to grow in this, but you grow with information. And you know what the saddest part about it is? There's folks in this church, sitting in this sanctuary today, who have seen and have felt the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit and turn around to some dry teaching and let it talk them right out of it. That's why it wasn't nothing. Brother, can I pick on you again? Hadn't been sleeping, wasn't sleeping. Couldn't get a good night's sleep. The Holy Spirit visited him, spoke to his spirit, and Denzel come back and told me, said, I don't know what it was, but I slept better than I ever did. Is that not what you told me, brother? You can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know how the Holy Spirit works. I don't know even why He fools with us sometimes. But belief is powerful. Every single person that was healed, Jesus didn't say, rise up, brother, I'm Jesus Christ. That's why you're healed. No, He said, never have I seen such faith. Your faith has made you whole. So if I believe that God can't do nothing in me, what's going to happen? Your head is like your central location that keeps everything going. Where your head goes, your body goes, right? So if you think right, you're going to start to act right. If I can get you to think a little different, you might respond a little different. I want you to open up your eyes and see what the Holy Spirit has for you. Paul tells us in Corinthians, he says, I will sing with the Spirit, but I'll sing in understanding. I will pray with the Spirit, but I'll pray in understanding. Paul also said, everything is good for me, but not everything is expedient. Now, is God going to come in a church and just bust up a whole congregation that's not ready, say, going to the first Baptist church down there in Shepherdsville, and somebody will stand up and give a prophecy in tongues and an interpretation? Absolutely not. They're not ready for that. But when God's people start to desire something and pray for it, God will deliver it. He will give it to you. The greatest thing that the Word tells us is that regardless of what any man does to me, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I can love all men. It does not tell me that all men are going to love me. Not everybody's going to be excited about a word that I preach. Not everybody's going to be excited about something that I believe. But the Bible tells me that if I can look at my brother and I can desire to love him, though they might be a little bit of theological difference, I can love all men. And we need to be able, Paul said after the second admonition, let it go. All it's going to do is start to produce ungodliness. But no, we have to beat everybody in. We need to take a square peg, stick him in a round hole, and drive him with a gospel hammer until he fits in. 9 times out of 10, we end up splintering it and busting it in half, and it falls right through. God has set us up and equipped us. Our name is Unity. What can you do against all of the major denominations? What power do you have to start bringing unity? Somebody somewhere has to change their theological thinking and realize, hey, I am not the sum total of everything that God's doing. I may have always learned this. For years of my Christian life, I thought all I had to do was try to do the best I could to live right. God saved me, repent when I done wrong, and that's it. There wasn't no more. Ain't no more God. But then I started reading And I started understanding something a little bit different. The Bible does say that. Is this the truth? Do we believe this to be the truth? Then if this is the truth, I should follow it. Now, am I telling you that tonight's service, everybody ought to come in and everybody ought to be speaking in tongues? Absolutely not. The Bible is clear in saying that the Lord is the minister of those gifts. He gives to each man as he sees fit. I may want... Well, we'll not even go there. He told us that when we come to church, each one of us, should, if I'm remembering right, we should have a psalm, which is a song, a hymn, no, wrong verse, song, a doctrine, a tongue, an interpretation. What he's basically saying is we need to come to church ready for church. You ought to come in with the song already in your heart. Not how good can you sing, brother, to get my spirit where I'm right to hear the word. If you would just do a little bit more worship, I could have a little bit better church. And if you could preach better and get me out of the mess, look, it's not all related on somebody else. We want our whole entire Christian life to relate on all of these aspects of church. And then when things get crazy, say, no, it's personal. It's just between me and God. Well, if it's between you and God, get ready for church. You and God, get ready. Listen to music in the morning. Read in the morning. Whatever you have to do to get your spirit ready so that you can receive from God instead of enduring church. Instead of just, got to go to church. It's what I've been doing. It's what I'm supposed to do. Maybe we'll have a good service. Maybe we won't. We'll just have to see. Now, you think God sits up there on His throne and He says, okay, we'll do the Church of God in Fairdale. We'll do Family Worship Center, Trinity, Evangel. No, I don't want to do them. They just got blessed last week. They don't need no more of me. Let's see. Hey, I know. Well, no, not them because they got something else going on today. Who else can? That's not what the Bible reads. The Bible says, it amazes me that God seeks anything, but He's seeking folks who worship Him. What would happen if He found a body of believers doing what He expected us to do? If we come in with our hearts together, if we assemble ourselves together, look, we can go to AutoZone, and all of the parts you need to make a motor is up there in that building. They're not assembled, and you don't hear nothing running. But when you pull this one, well, we don't like this. We want everybody to be the alternators. We want a whole motor of nothing but alternators, brother. Skip them pistons. Them's ugly. Nobody sees them anyway. We don't need them. Let's pull the camshaft out because it's hid too. And let's start it up. Does it work? But when it's assembled together, you have a mode of transportation that will take you where you need to go. As I look out across this congregation, I see every kind of personality and every face that differs one from another. No two faces are alike. Oh, there's similarities. I mean, Cheryl and Vicky both have noses and eyes and lips and hair, and we ain't gonna go there, brother. Ears. But they different in personality. Does that mean Vicky's is good and Cheryl's is bad? No. That means Vicky's Vicky and Cheryl is Cheryl. Debbie's Debbie. Amy is Amy. What the wonderful glory is when we can allow people to be themselves and introduce the Spirit of God and let them work effectively instead of saying, sorry, Rick, but you ain't doing it that way. We sing out of this one and this one only. Forget the brown one. Forget the folder. And if somebody comes up with that CD, Robbie, you're in charge. You better unplug it. Because it's my service. Folks, we come to please the Lord. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, like he is in these last days, God will raise up that standard where you don't have to look and say, there's no, that's a Southern Baptist, that's Four Square, that's the Charismatic. Where is my standard at? I don't know where to go. You can look and there'll be one standard, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, and one to run to for salvation. And we can unite for a common cause. I tell folks at work, Kay can be a witness right there sitting. I tell them, give me a try. I ask for 3 visits, because anything can happen on one, right? Give me 3 visits. And if we ain't your flavor of ice cream, move to another bucket. But get some ice cream. It's good. You will find something that tastes good. And if you can't survive out of my bucket, find one that you can survive in, because your eternity is depending on it. And I even tell them, I said, please, whatever you do, get saved, because the thought of me being in heaven without you just upsets me. And that's where we need to get concerned. I don't need to run over here and pluck these out of this church. And here, Robbie, I got these. You deal with them. And then grab them too. And I got them out of that church. And you we're not supposed to seek the churches and the hedges to get them out. We're not supposed to be playing checkers and moving the pawns here and there. And sometimes they get captured and get taken off the board. Amen. But we're to go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them, not just say, well, maybe you ought to come in, maybe you shouldn't. Compel them to come in. Look, we need to hold to and rally around all of the principles of the kingdom of God, who are diametrically opposed to the world, and interpret and expose the will of our God. That's what we need to do. Not keep it hid. What's a little song? Do we put it under a bushel? No. Because it don't profit nobody. We need some power relationships that we can go to and realize, if you got a word of correction for me, brother, you need to give it. We need to be strong enough to do that. Not for me to do this. Jimmy, let me show you what Brad said and let me show you what the Word said.
He's back here.
He's deader than 4 o'clock because... this is what I believe. But wait a minute. What about the thing above it and the thing below it? What about Matthew where it says, if you have a fault with the brother, I need to go to Brad before I even get Jimmy involved. Why? Because I just destroyed his character. To Jimmy, though Jimmy may try everything he can, that's still stirring up in his mind. So I have brought a sword out and murdered my brother. Now, in the old covenant, what I had to do is I had to actually stick a sword in Brad and watch him die to commit murder. But Jesus said that's the way it was in the old testament. Let me tell you how it is now. Did he say, if you're angry at your brother? Is that what he said? Without cause, you've murdered him already here? So could I actually be hindering my walk while I'm going around trying to kill everybody with the word that I carry? Absolutely. Folks, we don't need to do that. Maybe I'm afraid to take the word and say, well, Brad, this, and this, because Brad might say, well, here, let me show you what the reference to that says. Oh. Oh. You mean I'm not 100% right all the time because that's what I think and that's what I... We can't build a doctrine on a half a verse or a verse. The Word of God has to be rightly divided. I know it's uncomfortable. I know I don't fit well. And I know it really troubles a lot of our theology. Well, when are we going to quit confusing everybody? Oh, I can whittle me out a section over here and get all them believing everything I say and get them half in the church under Robbie's authority and the rest of it's under mine. Well, you know, Sarah, Robbie preached this, but let me show you what he meant. We can't divide Christ anymore, folks. We need to allow God to raise the standard so that God's people can be clear. Just like Debbie said, when everybody's hollering, I was going to go here, but these people told me they were wrong. And this person told me they were wrong. And this person told me they were wrong. So the best thing for me to do is just sit down and do nothing. Go the other way. Folks, be careful of somebody who proves everybody wrong. Because all they're saying is, I'm right. I'm right. I know it all. Well, they don't. None of us know it all till we cross heaven. Let's allow God, when the enemy continues to come in like a flood, let him raise up his standard so that we can rally underneath him and his word. So that we can know for certainty all we do. Our job is to set that lost person in front of Jesus, send them there, and tell them, get in a Bible-believing church and stay there. Be there to every service. Learn all you can. Read, understand God's word. And be open, because you're going to learn some new things. This thing's not done yet, folks. It's not done yet. So let's allow God to raise up a standard in us. Amen? Let's allow him to do that. Brother?